Baseball is back.
He doesn't want a super spreader out there in the middle of the field.
The season is different. On the field, in the socially distant clubhouse, in the empty stands.
You guys wanted to do it. You've been wanting to do it for months.
There's a lot to talk about.
Who are you kidding? Don't give me all that bull crap.
And this is the place to do it. This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Big Y, Safety Insurance, Rodenheiser Home Services, Woodbridge Wines, Gravely, Budweiser, and Jackson Lumber.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And it is exactly that. It's refreshing that we can hold on to all that warm weather while we can.
One thing has happened right now. Hold on a second, Jenny. That is unbelievable. Bobby Dalbec has just hit another home run. And this is,
wow.
I don't know if it's breaking news anymore because he just hit home runs, right? That's historic.
Yes.
Five consecutive games with a home run. Bobby Dalbec again showing you the opposite field power as he's able to go down. The solo home run, his sixth of the year, and the Red Sox have taken a 3-2 lead.
And that was on a changeup down and away.
Only Nesson. This has been the kind of year it is for the Red Sox, right? The biggest story right now for the Red Sox is who? Bobby Dalbec. Came up last night having homered in four straight games. Came up in the fifth inning. You know what Nesson was doing? And I'm not blaming Nesson. This is just bad timing. Hey, you know what they were doing?
Weren't they promoting some kind of drink or something?
They were doing a promo with Jenny Johnson of a, what do they call it? Dining Playbook.
Dining Playbook.
Dining Playbook, the show she does with Billy Costa. And so she's promoting Dunkin' Donuts, the Dunkin' Refreshers, which we also do here at Felger and Mass, Murray. While she's yapping away, Dalbec hits a changeup into the right field seats, and Tom Caron can't get her to stop talking. Like, she's going on and on and on while this is taking place, and poor Tom finally has to cut her off and says, hold on here, sister. Hold on. Five games. Jimmy, play the beginning of it again.
And it is exactly that. It's refreshing that we can hold on to all that warm weather while we can.
One thing has happened right now. Hold on a second, Jenny.
Hold on, Jenny. Hold on. The kid hit another home run. Hold on. But that's the way it's going for the Red Sox. So I said this last night. Murray, I'll say it again. Hard to do a baseball show this season for obvious reasons. So we don't get many callers. So if you want to talk baseball, now's your chance. 617-779-0985. When I said this last night that we don't have any callers on the line, you know what happened? People started calling, so I know you're out there. And I do want to hear from you about the Red Sox, the state of the Red Sox, and Bobby Dalbec, which is where we are going to start tonight, Bobby Dalbec in particular. I said this last night. I'll repeat it again. I wrote it yesterday. I haven't changed my mind. Guys like Bobby Dalbec right now are what are wrong with baseball. They are the guys that and it's again, it's not their fault. It's what they're being taught. It's what the game is valuing. And I'm telling you that guys like Bobby Dalbec are what is wrong with the game of baseball.
I do love this because you are telling people for what has been a bright spot in this terrible season for this terrible team. You're wrong to enjoy it.
Okay, so look, the Dalbec story, like I'm trying to separate the two, Murray, and I know this is
no,
a real...
No, I know, and I know exactly what you mean, because then you just pointed it out statistically. Like, he's just limited. It's either home runs or strikeouts. So, yeah, okay, we need... You're hitting home runs, but beyond that, what can you do? It doesn't seem like much. So, it's just not sustainable.
So many people think that I'm taking a dump all over Bobby Dalbec. I'm not. Dalbec right now is a good story. But I also have a problem with the way the game is played today. As many people know, I can't stand it. I have a problem with what is valued in the game. And I hope that Bobby Dalbec turns into a terrific player because God knows the Red Sox need it. God knows they do. So if you can tell me that Bobby Dalbec turns into a certain kind of player, I'm all for it. But let me ask you, what is that player? So let me give you an example. Okay, Bobby Dalbec last night went 1-for-4 with a home run. What did he do in the other three at-bats? Murray, don't answer. What did he do in the other three at-bats? Jimmy Stewart, you want to help me out here? Could we play Bobby Dalbec's other three at-bats other than the home run last night? Play those.
He's going to have his strikeouts. There's no question about that.
Kind of scared me there for a while, first 15 at-bats. I mean, I think a lot of us went, what? What's going on here?
I'm not
going
to suggest he's Aaron Judge. But you remember Aaron Judge getting called up at the end of that year? It's like 42 strikeouts and 90-something plate appearances. Swing and a miss. And Dalbec goes down swinging. 2-2 here. Ooh. Swing and a miss, strike three. 2-2 count here. Swing and a miss. He got him. So Dahlbeck strikes out to begin the ninth inning.
You know, three fastball strikeouts this game for yeah. Dahlbeck. He just can't catch up with his fastball. Uppercut swing. But did get the home run on the changeup.
Yeah, it's weird. Three fastball strikeouts, a changeup home run to the opposite field.
So listen to what the announcers are telling you there, too, because they're no fools. These guys have been around baseball their whole lives. Can't catch up to the fastball. Hit the home run on a changeup. So what do you think is going to happen eventually to Bobby Dahlbeck, Murray? High fastballs. And you heard X say, too, uppercut swing. You know who swung like that? Chavis. You know what they started doing? High fastballs. You know what Chavis started doing? Stopped hitting home runs, started striking out more. So this is my concern. Okay, and I see a couple of you on the line, but I want to do some math here with you. Because last night, and this is my problem with the modern way that the game is evaluated. Bobby Dahlbeck went 1-for-4 with a home run. 1-for-4 is a on-base percentage. He didn't walk or anything in any of the other plate appearances. It's an on-base percentage of .250. Okay? On base. It's a slugging percentage of 1,000. So his OPS last night is .1250, which is a gigantic number. Gigantic. Is that justified? In other words, if he were to go 1-for-4 with a home run every night, and look, you know, that's an exaggeration because that's 162 home runs, you'd say, fine, he's worth it. But one home run, three strikeouts, like at what point does the home run become less valuable because he doesn't put the ball in play enough? You follow me?
No, yeah.
And this is an age-old question, so you know, this brings into question the whole OPS stat. And let me tell you, OPS is a very accepted statistic in baseball. A lot of people like it.
But when you look at a case like this kid's, it's especially in a small sample size, it's overrated.
Okay, so I think it is overrated. And I'll tell you why. Because the guy who hits for a higher average is worth more than the guy who hits for a lower average but walks more. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if a guy has a 370 on base, but he does it with a 285 average versus a 220 average, I'll take that guy every time. That guy's a superstar. So let me give you an example. The question is, at what point does he have to put the ball in play enough and get hits enough to make it worthwhile? So 800 OPS is accepted as a wildly successful number. So I did a quick Google search, or a baseball reference search, rather. The last 10 years of guys who batted under .250 and had an OPS over 800. You got it?
Yeah.
Batting average under .250, OPS over 800. You tell me whether you would take these players on your roster.
Okay.
Okay? Jose Bautista, who was with the Blue Jays.
No.
Yeah, I would. I would. I would take Bautista.
Yeah.
Okay? And he batted .249 during that span. I said under .250, he's .249.
I always thought he was overrated.
Miguel Sano.
Who? No.
Is he still with the Twins? I think Sano's with the Twins.
I would say no.
He's close. 839 OPS, he batted .244. How about Gary Sanchez with the Yankees?
Oh, God, no.
Okay, so Sanchez.
He's so hot and cold and mostly cold now. So Yankees fans hate him.
So if you told me the Sanchez of 2 or 3 years ago when he hit .270, .290, yes. His overall career average is .237.
Yeah, but Girardi lit a fire under his ass.
But in the last 2 years, he's hit around .200. I would tell you, I don't want the current Gary Sanchez.
He's a slob.
Kyle Schwarber, Cubs?
Don't know enough about him.
Here's a good one for you. Mike Napoli.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, maybe that's just nostalgia for, you know, 7 years ago, but I don't know. I thought he was a clutch hitter.
Okay, Mike Napoli, career .243 hitter, .816 OPS. Here's what I'm getting at. Once you start dropping into the area of Chris Davis.
Oh, God. Ugh.
Okay, once you start dropping into that area.
Really, either one, because I think the dude in the A's is just home runs and strikeouts anyway.
Chris Davis?
Yeah.
Yeah, or either Chris Davis, right. I'm talking about Chris Davis with the Orioles, but Chris Davis from the A's is also on this list. So here's my point. If his average drops and he dips into that .230 area, he's not worth it. He's not worth it. So the strikeouts should concern you. I know everybody says strikeouts mean nothing. Well, they do, because if you can't put the ball in play, you can't hit for average. And if you can't hit for average, then what good are you? You might as well be Adam Dunn. Jimmy Stewart, did you like Adam Dunn as a player?
No, I think he's disgusting.
Adam Dunn was a hack. He was a freaking hack.
Didn't he have 300 strikeouts one year?
He had. No, I don't think that many.
250?
He was over for 200 for sure. I think the record's like 220 or something, isn't it? Might be 240. But no, I don't think anybody's ever gotten close to three. But a guy like Adam Dunn's career OPS is over 800. Do you want him on your team? Because I think he's a hack. I think he sucks. So this is the point.
Had 194 in 06.
You cannot sit here and tell me that the strikeouts don't matter. So we had a guy on the program a year ago, or around the holidays, who actually was on the Felger and Mazz show. He won the auction. He was kind of a stat geek. His name was Matt.
Oh, yeah, remember? Matt the Stat.
Matt the Stat. I haven't heard from Matt the Stat in a long time. I want Matt the Stat to devise a new statistic, or someone out there. I want you to give me an OPS, but that somehow weighs batting average. I don't want it to be just on base, because that puts a premium on the walk. And I don't think the walk is as valuable as a single. So I want an OPS stat that reflects batting average in some capacity. Then we can talk about how good Bobby Dalbec is going to be. Let me take a couple of calls here. We'll have Shaughnessy on the show, too. Frankie's in New Bedford. Good, Frankie.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I'll be quick. One, I like your show because I like you have no filter, which I like that. Two, I think the Reds are doing bad because I think they're just tanking the season so they can restart again over next year. And that's my take on it. I'll take your...
Frankie, I said this earlier in the year. At this stage, I hope they are tanking. I hope they are. I want as high a draft pick as possible. And I think they have the worst record in the American League still, although beating teams like the Rays like they did last night isn't going to help. Kevin's in Norwood. Kevin, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Mass? I just want to say I'm 9 foot heavy deep, but listen, the state of baseball is atrocious. I can't believe the way the game is played. I don't have that much time.
Okay, what do you think about Dalbec? What do you think about Dalbec?
I'm not a big fan of this launch angle. Man, you strike out more than you're on base. I mean, come on. Yeah, what are you going to be like? What was that? Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to let you go. You said 9 butt heavies. That's plenty. So I do think this is my only point. The modern metrics people say strikeouts are okay. We'll take strikeouts. Well, no. No, they're not okay because they typically go along with low batting average. And they'll say, well, we don't care about batting average. I tell you, you're stupid to not care about batting average. So you want to tell me a guy's a leadoff hitter, Ricky Henderson, who's going to hit 220 and still have a 370 on base because he can walk and run and steal. Fine. No problem. I'll take it in a leadoff hitter. Even then, though, I'm reluctant. But what if I can get a guy with a 370, the same speed, but he hits singles instead of walks? You're telling me you wouldn't rather have that? So the idea that the strikeout is irrelevant to me is asinine. Asinine. Because, again, typically it means you're willing to take low batting average. So this is my plea to Matt the Stat, if he's out there listening, or to anyone else who's a stat geek or stat nerd who understands the formula for on-base percentage and OPS and all that stuff. And OPS is easy. It's on-base plus slugging. Piece of cake. But I want someone to give me one that OPS weighs batting average over walks, hits over walks. I would like someone to come up with that. We can call it, you know, whatever you want. You can put OPZ, put a Z in there for Mass. OPZ. Give me OPZ. I want that. Because this idea that Bobby Dalbec will be as effective with the home runs no matter what the batting average is, as long as he gets his walks, is stupid. It's stupid. You don't watch the game. You just go by the numbers. I want the hits. That's what I want. Dan Shaughnessy, The Globe, will join us next.
This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters, on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talk talking everything baseball.
So if you're a Red Sox fan, here's what you think.
It's the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mazz on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't think this is one of the stronger segments.
Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe. Wisecracking his way on a 98.5.
I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
So I got Dan on hold there. I just want to tell you quickly, if you know, Dan contributes to the midday program here, Zolak and Bertrand. And, you know, COVID has flipped everything upside down. So a lot of the regular contributors have been difficult to get in the studio here over the summer. So we're still working on some of the particulars on that. And but Dan also contributes to the Baseball Reporter, so we bring him in now via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. I have not had a chance to talk to you about this Red Sox season, so here's what I want to know. How big a disaster is this, and can they recover from it?
Well, I mean, life is long, so they can recover. I think that, I mean, I'm an old guy, Maz. We all know that, but and I remember some bad teams in the 60s. But they had legitimate starting pitching. You know, Bill Mombouquet, who won 20 games, and Earl Wilson, who won 20 games. You know, Gene Conley was an all-star with the Braves. I mean, these guys are in the rotation. What we're seeing now is again, giving up, tanking, what have you. It's the worst team in my lifetime, and it's appalling. They have the third highest payroll in baseball. They weren't up front with the fans telling them what they were going to do. They presented this that they were still going to compete. They gave up on the season in February, and the players got the message. And then, you know, there was some bad luck associated with it, you know, Erod getting the COVID. And the Sale thing wasn't really bad luck. Everybody knew that was going to happen.
That wasn't bad luck.
That was like last July, August. And the signing of him is on them, as is the signing of Evaldi, who's coming in at a whopping 2 wins for the third straight year, you know, with his $17 million a year. So we could go on all day, but I cited this week in the Globe is that, you know, they finished last once in 80 years from 1932 until 2012. They finished last once.
1992 with Butch Hobson. Yep.
Yep. And now they're going to be last for the fourth time in 9 seasons. And, you know, I mean, the owners evidently get a lifetime pass from some of the fans. Oh, they won 4 World Series. And that's great. But 4 summers in which you just had to check out in the middle, and this year is weird, obviously, with 60-game season, but it's not acceptable for the Boston Red Sox to finish last every other year in a 9-year stretch.
So, Dan, look, I agree with you. You know, Rochy and I disagreed on this the other night, and I want to relive that argument I had with Rochy, but to me, it's there's a long-term damage being done right now that I'm worried about. I say that I'm worried about because, A, I grew up here like you. I'm a little younger. This is the worst team of my life. This is the worst team I've seen in the worst year, the most irrelevant I have seen the Red Sox since 1966, and I wasn't born then. Okay, 1966, the Red Sox drew 10,000 fans a night at Fenway Park. 10,000 fans. That means there were twice as many empty seats at Fenway as there were filled ones, to give you some perspective on that.
Yep.
So we all know 67 is sort of the line in the sand where everything changed, and the Red Sox became the phenomenon that they have been for a long time. Now, I don't expect them to be what they were in 04 or even 07, which is really when interest in the team peaked. It peaked in 07. But, Dan, I look at the last 2 years, and I cannot remember another time where the team has been this irrelevant. And before I finish the thought, let me just say quickly, if you're on the line holding, please hold, because I do want to get to you. And I see some people that I want to talk to, so don't go anywhere. But this is the most irrelevant that I've seen the Red Sox over a full year now that and at any other time I can remember. And I have serious questions, Dan, about whether or not it'll ever be remotely the same again here. You tell me.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've got the ballpark, which is a star. The tourists want to go there. And, you know, Fenway's, you know, it's pricey, but it's a great experience. And we all know that. But, yeah, I mean, people's patience is running out. Not only are they dreadful and bad, it takes them forever to suck. You know, they can't just lose. You know, the length of game, I think they were 7 minutes longer than everybody else last year. They're either 29th or 30th in length of game this year. They routinely go 3.5, 4 hours. They use, you know, 7 pitchers in a 2-1 game.
And, Dan, and the product stinks. And I don't mean the Red Sox product. I mean the Major League product stinks.
Yeah.
It's not – the
it's
game's
terrible.
Not good anymore.
Nothing ever happens. You turn on the TV and every guy's 3-2. And then there's either a walk or a strikeout, maybe a homer. There's never a ball in play. There's no action. It's dreadful. It's a horrible product, and they're just killing themselves. And the players, they don't care. They don't understand this. And the Red Sox pitchers are being taught to go to 3-2 in every hitter, throw a lot of curveballs in the dirt, try and strike everybody out, and make sure there's no ball in play, because that's a dangerous situation. So, yeah, this is an unwatchable product. Not only are they bad, they're unwatchable.
Okay, so here's what I want to ask you. Right now, and I know you said, well, they get the ballpark, fans will come in. I'm not talking about attendance numbers. I'm not talking about things like that. I'm talking about, you know, their place on the Boston sports landscape. Now, the Patriots have been number one in the town for a long, long time.
Right.
And I think the Patriots still are number one, even without Brady. It would take some sort of long drought for the Patriots to lose that stranglehold on that position. Who's the number two team in town right now?
It's the Celtics right now. I mean, I don't think it's even close. And then the Bruins are third. These guys are fourth. And, you know, there's some inertia with the annual. Baseball's always in season, 12 months of the offseason, all that stuff. And the old-timers still cling to that. But the old-timers are going away, and they're not being replaced by a new generation of young people. And the Sox, in addition to sucking and playing long games with no action, they also are assembling the anonymous team. This is a goal toward 25 guys that no one's ever heard of and no one knows anything about. That's not good. I mean, they're clinging. I think there's seven guys left from the 18 team that won. And obviously, Devers and Bogarts, you know, there's some star power there and some really good players. But they're bringing in these pitchers, and Chaim Bloom doesn't care. This is why we call them, you know, Tampa Bay by the Charles. I mean, they're just throwing all these guys in there. No one's ever heard of them. With the new media restrictions, no one's ever going to know anything about them. And you can't have an anonymous team of 25 guys that no one cares about and be bad and play unwatchable baseball. So, yeah, they're teeing it up in every way.
I mean, I'm worried about their ability to sort of reclaim their spot on the landscape. I am, maybe I'm overreacting, but honestly, I don't care. I mean, I feel that I feel the situation is that dire. Before I let you go, just quickly, Bobby Dalbec, your two cents here.
I heard you earlier. I like what you were saying earlier.
Okay, what do you think of Bobby Dalbec?
Well, all those strikeouts with the high fastballs, and that the people aren't stupid. Why he's getting anything off speed? I mean, he's hit a million homers. He's best since Sam Horn, which tells you something right there. They tend to figure things out with these guys, and he's going to have to either be able to hit the cheese or he's going to be the next Sam Horn. It's great so far. You root for the kid. Wonderful, but it's been all off speed, curveball, changeup stuff.
And you know what? See, I don't blame him, Dan. I hope the kid makes it. I do. I think I'd love to see the Reds. God knows the Red Sox could use some good young talent. But clearly, this is what players are being encouraged to do now. It's all about uppercuts and home runs. We want you to slug. We don't care if you hit for average. And I just think that it turns them into worse players. That's what I think.
And it makes the game more unwatchable. Everything they're teaching makes it less interesting to watch, and that's unfortunate.
All right, listen, thanks for the time. Enjoy Game 7 tonight, Celtics and Raptors. You can listen to it, Dan, as you know, right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, if you so choose.
I definitely will. Thanks, man.
All right, there you go. Dan Shaughnessy of the Globe joining us via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
Oh, my God, I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
And look, you know, Shaughnessy and I agree on a lot of this. So you say, well, of course you have Shaughnessy on as a guest because he agrees with you. I also think that if you follow sports in this town, you know that he's a hardcore baseball guy and has been for a long time. So, you know, there are lots of longtime baseball people that I would love to talk to. And if you want to tell me, and again, we'll have Jared Karabas on too. I'd be curious as to how Karabas feels about some of the modern metrics. And really, it's not about the metrics. Like, I don't want to dump on all the stat nerds because I told you, I want someone to come up with a stat that is basically OPS but weighs batting average over walks. That's what I want. And I see someone on the line that apparently wants to give me something close to that, along with some other familiars like Tom and Quincy. So those of you, along with Alan Lowell and Nelson and Brookline, sit tight. We'll get to you in the next segment. Murray will get you caught up on headlines. Don't go anywhere. We'll take your calls next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He's going to have a strikeout, so there's no question about that.
Kind of scared me there for a while, first 15 at-bats. I mean, I think a lot of us went, what's going on here?
I'm not going to suggest he's Aaron Judge. But you remember Aaron Judge getting called up at the end of that year? It's like 42 strikeouts and 90-something plate appearances. Swing and a miss, and Dahlbeck goes down swinging. 2-2 here. Ooh. Swing and a miss, strike three. 2-2 count here, swing and a miss, he got him. So Dahlbeck strikes out to begin the ninth inning.
You know, three fastball strikeouts this game for Dahlbeck. He just can't catch up with his fastball. Uppercut swing, but did get the home run on the changeup.
Yeah, it's weird. Three fastball strikeouts, a changeup home run to the opposite field.
I get it. Bobby Dahlbeck, it is. It's good stuff. Home runs in five straight games. Tough thing to do. I like the story. I'm just using Dahlbeck more as a vehicle to get into the discussion of the modern game. 1-for-4, home run, three strikeouts. Isn't that perfect? I told you, the OPS thing. Last night, his OPS was 1250. Doesn't it feel a little high for a guy who goes 1-for-4 with three strikeouts? I just think the weighting is wrong. I want a formula that gives me OPS that weights batting average over walks, because I think that is more valuable. Andy in a car. Andy, you got a stat for me?
Yeah, how's it going, Matt? First time listener, or first time caller, long time listener.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
So, really, the problem I see with the OPS stat is that slugging, you can go 1-for-4, but if that one hits a homer, you're going to have a 1,000 slugging percentage for that game. That's how Bobby Dahlbeck is getting the 1250. So I don't really have a better way to produce slugging, but in terms of incorporating, taking less from walks and incorporating batting average more, I was thinking you would take the mean, stat word for average. You take the average of the batting average and the on-base percentage, and you take that and add slugging. So let's say a player had a 250 average and 350 on base percentage. The average of that is 300, and then you add the slugging. That accounts a little more for average, I think, than the current system.
Okay,
just
so
using on base percentage.
Okay, so honestly, Andy, I'm not sure that's true mathematically. But again, because I'm not the math expert on that one. This is why I reach out to Matt the stat. But again, you're on the right track. I want an OPS stat that doesn't value walks as much as hits. That's what I want. The idea that a walk is as valuable as a hit is wrong. This idea that they told you that in Little League, it's wrong. And I'll tell you why it's wrong. Because a hit can knock in multiple runs. A walk can't. Fact. Now, if you want to tell me the bases are empty, then yes, a walk and a single is the same thing. But a hit's always better than a walk. Always, 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 let alone an extra base hit. So I don't have a problem with the slugging part of it. I don't. If your one hits a home run, that's worth more. You just produced a run on your own. That's worth more. I'm okay with that. But the walk, the idea that the walk is as valuable as a hit, stupid. Little League concept, stupid. Al's in Lowell. Go ahead, Al.
Hi. Am I on?
You are. What do you got?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Well, I mean, you're talking about 7 million things, but just on Dahlbeck, just let's remember he's, what, 24, 25? So he's got a little bit of time to learn how to hit the fastball. And I'd rather see him than Su Wei Lin in the lineup with Bogarts and maybe with revived Benintendi and Verdugo and Martinez than, you know, some singles hitter. So I think you're not really giving him a chance. And for Murray to say that he would not want to see someone like Jose Bautista in the lineup, I mean, that guy ruined the Red Sox. Do you remember?
Okay, so Al, listen again. And I think I gave you a 10-year span average on Bautista. He was better than a 249 hitter. He just fell on the list, and I wanted to be fair. I drew the line at 250. But Jose Bautista, when he was right, was hitting higher than that. So, and look, again, you misunderstand what I'm saying. I don't have anything against Dahlbeck. Dahlbeck might learn how to hit the fastball. He might get better. I hope he does. And I mean that sincerely. I'm not trying to be a wise ass. I'm just telling you that the modern game values Bobby Dalbec as is too much. Right now, he is a 1-for-4, 3-strikeout, extra base hit guy. And they're telling you that that's fine. And I'm telling you, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's not good enough. We need to ask for more. I don't like the 3 strikeouts. You should put the ball in play. It's putting the ball in play is not necessarily a bad thing. Like somehow the idea, what I don't get is they tell us that they want strikeouts from the pitchers, but then the hitters strike out and they tell us it doesn't matter. Strikeouts don't matter. Well, then why do you want them on the mound? Well, it's just not logical. It's irrational. Tom and Quincy, my buddy Tom. What do you got, Tom?
Hey, what's up, Mass? I swear to God, if I would just drive to Dorchester, I would hug you right now. I have never agreed with something more than all this talk. And I get the kid is great, and he's hitting bombs left and right. My issue is that just like you said, this is all these younger guys coming up are doing, right? And it was different because we're within roughly a few years of each other. So the names that I'm going to rifle off real quick, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Because back in the early 80s, early mid-80s, there was like one of these guys per team. And it was some kind of like a – we would laugh and call them softball players. And it was off the top of my head, I was like – I could think. I'm like Rob Deer, Pete Incaviglia, Ron Kittle, Dave Kingman, Tony Amos, Gorman Thomas. These guys every year would bat roughly 225 to 240, 35 to 40-plus home runs. And the OPS falls right within you talking about because I was just looking at it while I was on hold. The majority of those guys at the ceiling, 775. So it's gone from these teams back then when baseball was actually fun to watch would have one of these guys, you know, and they would last, you know, six, seven, 8 years in the league and they'd bounce around to different teams in most cases. But now the guys that are being drafted in the first round being all taught this whole exit velocity, launch angle crap, and that is destroying the game on top of all the other garbage that's going on.
So, Tom.
I want no part of that.
Yeah, and so, Tom, listen, thanks for the call as always, all right? Thanks. You can thank me without coming over to kiss me. That's okay, but as always, appreciate the phone call. Let me read to you what, if you're into modern metrics and you're into the way the game is played now, they now keep what is called strikeout percentage. Okay, strikeout percentage, the number of times that you, the percentage of time that you strike out, percentage of at-bats in which you strike out. Bobby Dalbec right now, among 429 major leaguers, has the second highest rate. And that's a minimum of 30 plate appearances, okay, or 30 at-bats. So the second highest rate, I mean, you tell me, if you cut that number in half, and he can hit 270, what do we have there? Because the power is real. The power's not going anywhere. And I also think, I believe in hitting to a situation, hitting to a count. So you want to go up in a certain situation and look for a ball you can drive? Absolutely. No question. Absolutely. But you got 2 strikes on you, a couple of guys on base, and you're down in the count. You tell me you still want that guy swinging for the fence? I just think it's asinine. And so, by the way, the strikeout percentage, again, 429 players in the game with 30 or more at-bats or plate appearances. I can't remember which I used, but regardless, Bobby Dalbec has the second highest strikeout percentage. The next Red Sox on the list, Michael Chavis, is 20th, 38.1%. Zhu Weilin, who the caller mentioned, 25th. He's 25th on the list. So here's my point. Zhu Weilin, is Zhu Weilin a power hitter? Should Zhu Weilin be swinging from his ass, looking for extra base hits and striking out that percentage of the time? When what's he going to get, a double if he's lucky? Or should he be looking to hit for a higher average and maybe getting on base for something else? They're just turning everybody into the same thing. To me, it is asinine. Brian and Haverhill, I think, may have an answer to my stack question. Go ahead, Brian. Brian, you there?
Yeah, hey, man. On the stats, guys, thanks for taking my call first time. I just want to kind of clear up the whole stat thing. I mean, it's all about run production. It's runs scored in RBIs. You're either pushing the runs down to the plate or you're scoring runs. Batting average will figure itself out. Want to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
Okay, so look, I get it with the run production. I understand what you're saying. I'm just telling you, I think it can be done more effectively for some players in another way. So you want to tell me that, like, you've got a guy with legit power, and you want him to swing a little bit more, and he's got a big swing? Fine. Do we have to teach the middle infielders that? Should Jose Peraza be the kind of guy that's trying to hit for power? Because it'll get him out of the big leagues. He's done. Or Brock Holt? Or I'll give you a good one. How about Andrew Benintendi? Do you want Andrew Benintendi swinging with launch angle? Or do you want Andrew Benintendi, whose gift is spraying the ball all over the field? Do you remember the Andrew Benintendi, who what he looked like when he first got here? Do you remember that guy? Take a look at him now and tell me whether you think it's the same player. And I'm worried that they're going to do the same to Alex Verdugo. I'm worried. Nelson's in Brookline on Bobby Dalbec. Go ahead, Nelson.
Hey, Tony. Really quick, I just want to make sure I mention this. That guy who talked about trying to defend Dalbec for Bobby Dalbec for supposedly being 24 years old, remember that the baddest right-handed hitter that I've ever seen in my life was Manny Ramirez, and at age 24, he was already breaking 300-plus around there, if I'm not mistaken. But what I was going to say about Dalbec is they should trade him now while at least he's turning eyes. Because, I mean, if our farm system is depleted, as we all know, then maybe somebody, we can get something for him, now considering that he does have legitimate power. In spite of the strikeouts, somebody can probably polish him up and, you know, do something with him. Somebody might take him on as a project, right?
So, Nelson, I'll tell you what, it's an interesting thought that, I mean, look what happened to Chavis. You tell me that they couldn't have gotten something more for Chavis a year ago than they could right now? The bloom is off the rose, so to speak, with Michael Chavis. He's been completely exposed. Now everybody knows how to get him out. And if you look back, by the way, in the minors, Chavis was hitting for a high average. Now you get to the big leagues, the stuff is better. They know how to pitch better, better command. They throw him fastballs up in the strike zone. He's useless. So he hits 230, he's got two home runs. Last year he came up and smashed everything. So, the idea that now if Dalbec is the same thing, then yes, no question. Now's the time to move him. And I remember last year, I'm just telling you, I don't talk to that many people in baseball that regularly anymore, but I do have some people I talk to. And I called someone and said, what do you think of Dalbec? They said, well, he's okay, but he's basically Chavis, same kind of player. You know, he'll hit it out of the ballpark, but he'll strike out a ton and hit for a low average. And that's not good enough for me. You know, I need more than that. I think there's more potential there. Can you teach him how to make a little more contact in certain situations so that a strikeout becomes a single? Even if 3 out of every 10 strikeouts becomes a ball in play, even if you tell me it's a fly ball instead of a ground ball, I'll take it. I'll take it because I think it's going to lead to more hits. And I just think the idea that this cookie cutter way now of teaching it, to me, is crazy. I'm even okay with the whole uppercut thing. Ted Williams believed in the uppercut. But Ted Williams hit 406 one year. So I'm okay with the whole uppercut thing, whatever works in terms of the mechanics of it. But please, can we get rid of the strikeouts? The idea that the strikeout is good or that the walk is as good as a hit, those two concepts to me are stupid. They're just stupid.
This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.